So this morning we're going to look at about 10 passages of Scripture, and so get your Bibles out. I'll give you time to find those Scriptures, and we're going to talk about living a life that is guided by values and principles. And I want to help you this morning. This is just a word for the Solid Rock family body, and I just want to help you to see some things today, how that we can be guided by principles and values, and we can get through whatever life throws our way. Are you ready for this today?
Yes, sir.
Turn with me to the book of 3 John, chapter 2. I will let you know which version I am reading, because if you just bring one Bible, then you may not have the version that I'm reading, but they're going to say basically the same thing. It may break down the English language a little better for us, but I'm reading 3 John chapter 2, verses 2, 3, and 4 from 3 John. There is only one chapter, right? Verses 2 and 3 and 4. Okay. I've even got it in my notes, 3 John 2, 2, 3, and 4. There is no 2. It's fun getting older, isn't it? All right. Now, somebody, let me just take a minute and turn this on airplane mode, because I'm getting interrupted. I know you love me, but All right. The elder of the church addresses this letter to the beloved and esteemed Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. For I was greatly pleased when some of the brothers came from time to time and testified of your faithfulness to the truth of the gospel message. That is how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy. Now listen, this is Pastor Rhodes. I have no greater joy than to hear that our spiritual children are living their lives in the truth. It brings great joy when I hear a testimony from this side of the church or a testimony back here, what God is doing. It brings great joy to me as a pastor when I hear that the body of Christ is flourishing and the body of Christ is walking in victory. But it also grieves my heart when husbands and wives and families and children and people not happy on their jobs and things just seem to be falling apart. It grieves my heart. But I'm going to end this service today with the joy of the Lord, knowing that God's doing a healing in a lot of people here today and those that are watching online. Now, this scripture, I'll tell you what, this is such a beautiful passage of scripture. It expresses the desire that someone has for someone to be spiritually well-being, to be growing and walking in truth. And I love it. I love it when I hear people, man, I'm growing, Brother Rhodes. We're growing, brother. Man, we're growing in the Lord. We're growing spiritually. And then it really hurts when somebody says, well, we've hit a brick wall. And that does happen. Listen, this is life, folks. There are brick walls out there. And who said it a while ago? Somebody said it a while ago. Everybody's going to hit a brick wall from time to time. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how many times you go to church a week and how many hours a day you pray. There are times, because we are living in this fleshly body that likes to take control. Hello. Now, you may disagree with that statement, but just give me a chance to explain myself a little bit better, okay? So John is celebrating right now. He's celebrating that importance of living that spiritual life that Gaius is walking in. And so today I'm going to do my best. I'm going to answer three questions, and I hope you're listening and taking notes today. And then at the end of this lesson, I'm going to give you three life lessons, three takeaways that will help us to remember what the Spirit of God is saying to the church today. Don't look at me. Listen to what the Spirit has to say. Question number one, how does your soul prosper? How do we prosper in our soulish realm? Number two, what is the result of a prosperous soul? What is the result of a prosperous soul? And number three, what areas in your life will a prosperous soul affect? Did I not have those three listed? Okay. What areas of your life what areas of your life will a prosperous soul affect? And so, why is Gaius prospering? Why did John say, man, I'm excited because I see you're growing. I see that the truth is in you. And he's telling us why he's living in health, why he's prospering. And it says here in verses 3 and 4, he was a prosperous soul because the truth was in him. Everybody say truth. Truth. But not only was it in him, he walked in the truth. Not only did he receive the word, but he walked it out. Not only did he just have truth in him, but he walked in the truth. Now, a lot of people have truth in them. They know the word. They know how to pray. They know how to go to church. They know how to give. They know how to do all the things that Christianese things do. They hear, but they don't do it. And when you don't do it, your soul is not going to prosper. I want to tell you something. When your soul's not prospering, you're gonna have a whole lot of battles in life, and you're not gonna win very many of them. Can I hear an amen? You know, we've been taught how to pray. We've been taught how to live victorious. We've been taught how to, you know, be faithful and all those things. But and we hear the word. But listen, knowing alone is not enough. Knowing the word is not enough. Knowing even the right things to say is not enough. If we're not walking it out, if we're not living it, if we're not being a doer of it, all we are doing is becoming a reference book. Are you with me? Now in James 1:22, we'll back this up this morning. I'm going to try my best. I've got so many pigtails I could take today, and I'm going to try my best to stay focused. I'm going to try my best to slow down, but sometimes I get a little excited. So just Jesus help me. James chapter 1, prove yourselves. I'm reading again from the Amplified. Prove yourselves doers of the word. In other words, performers, those who carry it out. Those who don't just listen, but be a doer of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts and not just listeners. Those who hear the word, but fail to internalize its meanings. You can sit in church Sunday after Sunday. You can hear the word. You can even get excited about the word. But if you don't internalize it, if you don't act it out, if you don't perform the word, and I'm not talking like as an actor, I'm talking about being a doer of what God says, your house is going to be built on sand instead of a rock, as Matthew chapter 7 says. Amen. Did I finish that verse? Internalize its meaning, deluding yourself. You're fooling yourself. You're lying to yourself. Okay, when you don't become a doer of the word, okay, deluding yourself. So again, don't just listen to the word. Don't you know? There's a lot of listeners that can quote the word, but you can see by their lifestyle they're not living the word. They can quote it, they can speak it, but they're so deceived. They're lying to themselves when they don't act upon the word. And so, deception is a lie. It will cause you to believe something that's not true. It'll cause you to be misled, and your soul will prosper when you know the truth and you walk in the truth. I'm gonna bore this till we get about 30 foot down today, but you're gonna get it. When you walk out of here, you're gonna know what I'm talking about. Your soul will prosper when you know the truth, but you walk in the truth. You do what the truth says, not just acknowledge it mentally, or as we used to say, mental assent. How many knows a lie will keep your soul from prospering? How many knows perception's a funny thing? Perception's a funny thing. And our perception can be limited. Our perception, we can see things one way, but sometimes there's more than one way to see a thing. We all have, you know, our different perceptions. And, you know, people can walk into the church on Sunday morning and, man, they can look holy. They can raise hands, smile, say all the right words and look so spiritual. But what is the reality at the basis of the appearance? What is the reality at the basis of your appearance? Is the way you appear truth? Now, don't get mixed up, because I've told you before, when you don't feel like worshiping God, I'm going to worship him anyway. But I'm talking about those that will come in will not worship God. They're grieved. They're sorrowful. They just put themselves, you know, just can't just just have a hard time rightly discerning the word of truth. But listen, you can look spiritual, but does your appearance show the truth? Well, how about, here's another way. Mark, the pastor, gets up on Sunday morning, and he says, Solid Rock, we are going to convert our gymnasium into a two-story educational wing so that our children will have plenty of room and our nursery will have plenty of room and that our other ministries will have plenty of room. It's going to be a two-story. And you say, yes, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, until you get on the parking lot and then you start griping about how much it's going to cost. What's it the reality? What is the basis of your appearance? Do you give towards the project or do you gripe about what it's going to cost? Amen? How many of those people can say amen in church and gripe all the way home? Can I hear a good amen?
Amen.
That was a good amen. A hypocrite is not a person who's in the world. It's one who comes to church and agrees with the Bible. They appear to be in agreement with the pastor, but when they leave church, they don't live it. They don't live it out. I want to read to you something today that I found a long time ago, and I just want to bring it back to our remembrance. The origin of hypocrite. This common word has a dramatic origin story. A number of different things might pop into your mind when you hear the word hypocrite. Maybe it's a politician caught in a scandal. Maybe it's a religious leader doing something counter to their creed. Maybe it's a scheming and conniving character featured in a movie. But it's likely that the one thing that doesn't come to mind is the theater. The word hypocrite ultimately came into the English from the Greek word hypokritis, which means an actor or a stage player. The Greek word literally translated an interpreter from underneath. The word makes more sense when you know that the actors in the ancient Greek theater wore large masks to mark with which character they were playing, and so they would interpret the story from underneath their masks. The Greek word took on an extended meaning to refer to any person who was wearing a figurative mask and pretending to be something or someone they were not. This was taken into medieval French and then into English, where it showed up in the 13th century in religious texts to refer to someone who pretends to be morally good or pious in order to deceive others. It took surprisingly a long time for the hypocrite word to gain the more general meaning that we use today, a person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. There's a lot of people that will come to church smiling, singing. They got their Sunday morning mask on, and they're singing and praising God. But you know what? As soon as they get out to the car, they open the glove box, they put that mask in, and they pull out the other mask, their world mask, and they live with that one all week long. Are you listening? Are you listening? So what I'm talking about this morning is walking in truth, walking in truth, walking. It implies that you're doing something. You're not just taking it in, but you're demonstrating it, okay? So the truth means that you're unconcealed. The way you appear is the way you really are. You act the same at church as you do at home. It is the walking in truth that enables your soul to prosper, and it is the prosperous soul that enables you to live the faithful Christian life. If you're not going to go all the way with God's word, then you'll never make it. You might make it a week. You might make it a month. You might even make it a year, but you won't make it as a long-lasting Christian because you don't seek the Lord, and we don't walk in the truth that we hear. Can I hear a good amen?
Amen.
I'm reading a lot of this because I want to make sure I get it right this morning. In 2 Chronicles 26:5, 2 Chronicles, Old Testament, right after 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 26:5 says, Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. Do you know it's more miserable to be lukewarm than it is to be a sinner? You know, as a believer, when you get lukewarm, you're ruined. You're a miserable person. Lukewarm. lukewarm. I'm not referring to you, sir. Lukewarm. It's miserable to be a hypocritical Christian. It's miserable to be a lukewarm Christian. You know, sinners can go out in the world and have a great time. It looks like they're having a great time, but a backslidden Christian or a hypocritical Christian has a hard time having a good time because they know they're not walking in truth. Amen. Amen. So let's go on. Where am I at here? Okay. Walking in truth means that sometimes we're going to have to uncover things that we don't want to uncover. We don't want to be revealed. We don't want somebody to see that temper we have. We don't want somebody to see that short fuse. We don't want somebody to see how we treat our spouse. We don't want somebody to see how we treat our kids or whatever. And so we put on that mask, and when we come to church, we got it all together. But listen, God said enough is enough. We need to start walking in truth. You need to bring your family joy. You need to bring your pastor joy. You need to bring one another joy by walking in the truth that you know. And sometimes walking in the truth means shut up. Walking in the truth don't mean you always have to have the last word. My wife finally learned that after all these years. No. I'm still learning it. I don't have to have the last word. Even if I'm right, I don't have to have the last word. Hello? Well, I just messed up. I lost all my spiritual. Until you can uncover the real you, you will not be able to walk in truth. And that hurts. And because, you know, at Celebrate Recovery, Alex, we talk about, you know, being able to confess our faults one to another. We talk about being able to say, you know, I'm a struggling addict. I'm having an alcoholic or whatever. But it could be other things besides just those two major things. I mean, it could be I have an anger problem. I have an eating problem. I have a speeding problem. Where'd that come from? Shut up. They can't hear you online because you don't have a microphone. If we walk around thinking about our problems all the time, that's worry, not truth. It may be true that you're going through something, but it's not truth. God's word is truth. John 17, thy word is truth. The word of God is the higher truth than anything your flesh tells you or your mind or soulish realm tells you or what anybody else says. The word of God is truth and it's forever settled in heaven. Amen. Now, it may be true that your wife is a nag. And maybe you want to go live in an attic in the corner, you know, of your house. But listen, that might be true, but the truth is, you said to her, for better, for worse. You said in light, in sickness, and in health. I guess you did, right? Okay. Now, if we walk around thinking about our problems, that's worry. That's not truth. And many people have hostility in them, bitterness, anger, upset with people, selfish, only think about themselves, and you will never prosper in these things in your soulish realm. Now, let's define the soulish realm. It's I'm just going to use the definition I've used for all these years. It's your emotions. Somebody help me out. What's the other two? Soulish realm. Your mind, will, and emotions. Who said that? Thank you, Mark. It's your mind, will, and emotions. Now, how many knows our mind, will, and emotions are not to be led by the flesh? I'm going to give you scriptures in just a moment that's going to help you see that because our soulish realm, I like to say it like this, and I know that you're going to shoot me down for saying this, but it's like, how many of you ever have, you felt like a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other shoulder? How many of you ever heard this angel or whatever you want to call it say, don't do that? And this one here says, that's okay, nobody's listening and watching, you'll never get caught. Don't raise your hands, okay? But I want to tell you something. Everybody in this building has been there. Everybody in this building has had to wrestle between the right and the left. Now, inside your spirit man, you're born again. Every person here that's come to Jesus Christ is born again by the Spirit of God. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And that's why, and I'll get to scriptures here in just a moment, but that's why the scripture says, you know, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. That's what John said about Gaius. You are walking in the Spirit. You are walking in the truth. And now your soulish realm is prospering. Maybe you don't have an angel on your shoulder, but you got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you that will guide you into all truth if you will listen. Amen. The problem is most of the times we let our problems and everything else outweigh what the small, quiet, gentle voice is speaking to us. On this side, we have the devil. Well, you have a right to act like that. Did you see how he treated you? You have a right to respond like that. Did you see how your boss cheated you? Come on now. And he keeps telling. And so now here's the thing. This guy can't make you do anything. And the Holy Spirit's not going to make you do anything. Do you know where that's at? That's right here. This is the decision maker right here. Sam, I think we may have more soulish problems than we do spiritual problems. If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I'm to be led by the Spirit, how many of those, this little demon on my shoulder can say, oh, go ahead, nobody's watching. You'll never get caught. Nobody will ever see. But you know what? I have a decision to make. Am I going to go this way or am I going to go this way? Am I going to let the spirit man control me and rule me, or am I going to allow this little stinking devil to tell me? Because here's where it's at. It's not in here. It's here where the problem is. Everybody say, my head's the problem. Come on, everybody say, my head's the problem. Shout it out. My head's the big problem. It's not your spirit, man. It's not even the devil. We blame so much on the devil these days. The devil made me do it. Flip Wilson was totally wrong. How many's never heard of Flip Wilson? That's what I thought. Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. The devil may have suggested it. The devil may have said, do it. But the Spirit of God is rising up and saying, red light, red light, red light, don't do it. And then this guy right here decides, am I going to do it or am I not going to do it? Are you following me this morning? I hope I'm not butchering this all up. But that's why the devil sits on here and says, worry, worry, worry. Problems, problems, problems. You'll never make it through. It's never going to last. You're never going to be healed. You're never going to be victorious. You're never going to be prosperous. You're never going to have a good job. You're always going to be a loser. That's all he talks and says, all these negative things. The devil will never tell you anything positive. And as you listen to that and you feed on that and you give him a little bite of your hamburger and you let him, you just continually feed him, he's going to get bigger and it's going to become that snake's going to become a dragon. And what was a still small voice suddenly becomes a loud roaring dragon in your ear, and all, you can't hear the Spirit of God now because you fed this guy. Is this making any sense to anybody? I know this is elementary. I just went from an educational message to an elementary one, but I'd rather for you to get this. Oh, man, I have butchered this one. Okay, that's all right. Satan is the master deceiver. He has deceived many, many Christians because we listen to him. Amen? How many knows nowadays in the world we're living in, if you have a, and please don't get mad at me for saying this, but if you have a behavioral problem, you can now explain it as a disease. And now, because it's a disease, it's not your fault. So if I want to throw a temper tantrum, I might be 75. How old am I? 74? 75? I don't know how old I am anymore. I'm up there. But you know, you can throw a temper tantrum. And it's okay because I got this disease. I got this thing missing in my body, and it's causing me to act weird. Come on. Are y'all listening to me today? Is this helping anybody? In other words, you're not responsible for your actions because it's a disease. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
That goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, don't it? We've got to blame. Now I can blame the disease. Now I can blame my parents who passed that on to me. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Still with me? How many will stay a few more minutes? Can I get a few? Okay. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I have to come up with a new one. That one's getting kind of old. You know, how many of you expect a child to throw a temper tantrum, don't you? You expect childs to. But I'll tell you what, when we got adults that are fighting and throwing temper tantrums, I'll tell you what, something's wrong with that. Or a hissy fit. Heard that word before, a hissy fit? I had to look it up to see what it was. I just know that I've heard that before. And what? Well, hissy fits are more for adults that hiss. Okay. Deuteronomy 30, 19. Today, I've given you the choice between life and death. I've given you the choice between blessings and cursings. Now, I call on heaven and earth today to witness the choice you make. The choice you make. The choice you make. The choice you make. I'm depressed. I think I'll go shoot myself. Hello, the choice you make, you choose. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your family might live.
Amen.
Oh, that I might choose life, I might choose blessing, I might choose to believe God than what this little guy on my left shoulder is saying. Listen, this guy never stops. Amen? As long as you're living in a fleshly body, you're going to have to fight him. But I tell you what, it's all coming to an end. What do you choose today? What do you choose? You choose life? You choose death? You choose blessing? You choose cursing? You choose criticizing? You choose being a blessing? You choose building up? Or do you choose tearing down? What do you choose? Life or death? Blessing or cursing? Now, I have an announcement to make. You can change. Because God said, you have a choice. Stop blaming the devil. You made the choice. Amen? Am I boring anybody? Am I boring one person? Really? Okay. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. No, nobody said anything. Again, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Romans chapter 8, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. For those who are living according to the flesh, here we go, set their minds on the things of the flesh which gratify the body. Isn't that what I just said?
Yes.
Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will, His purpose. Now the mind of the flesh is what? Death. The mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it continually pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God now and forever. The mind of the flesh with its sinful pursuits is actively hostile to God. Your flesh will never love God in this world. The Bible calls your flesh the enemy. And that's why this war is going on between the flesh and the spirit until we die. Everybody has to battle the flesh. You might be surprised that I have to battle my flesh once in a while. Doesn't that just shock you? Your flesh ever rise up at the most embarrassing times? Y'all look so pious. You look so spiritual today. You do. You look like, not me, brother. You're preaching to yourself. Anybody ever have trouble with your flesh? I mean, if here's the thing. If you don't work on it, you're always going to have problems with your flesh. And your flesh is a liar. Your flesh is deceitful. Your flesh is an enemy of God. The Bible teaches us that your flesh is the enemy of God. Now, one time before man was cursed, that we had that oneness with God, but since man disobeyed and the curse came upon mankind, we have to live with that stinking Adam and Eve curse until Jesus comes back. And that's why we have trouble with our body. That's why my wife told me last night, she said, "Honey, you're addicted to food." Oh, I wanted to rise up and say, "No, I'm not." And then I looked in the mirror and said, "You're probably right." My flesh craves those donuts back there. And Roth, I said no to those donuts this morning. But Friday, I said yes to some cookies from Subway. So my wife is probably right. I'm probably addicted to food, and I need to get victory over it. My flesh. I don't know if you're ever like this, but have you ever heard in one ear, "Don't eat that. That's not good for you. That's too much caffeine. That's too much sugar. That's too much that stuff that Kennedy says is not good for you." You know, but we don't listen to it, do we? We listen to this one, that we crave it. I'm telling you. Listen, I would not lie to you this morning. This is the truth. I'm preaching the truth. That guy over here always says it's okay or gives you an excuse to do it. This guy over here, the Holy Spirit, I don't mean that disrespectful at all, but the Spirit of God within you will always guide you the right way if we will listen and choose that side. Every day we have to choose right or wrong. Every day we have to choose right or left. Every day of our lives, folks, you never get out of it. I don't care how spiritual you are. We always have that battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. Who's the most spiritual person in here today? Let me see. Who's the most spiritual? Okay. Tyler? He's the only one bold enough to raise his hand. Is it a continual battle? The flesh and the spirit are at war. Just like the Jewish nation and the Arab nations, they're always at war. I don't know if there'll ever be peace or not until Jesus comes back. In your, that's why we have battles. That's why we go through things. I'm sorry if I'm belaboring this. Where am I at here? Did I finish that? Verse 7. The mind of the flesh with its sinful pursuits is actively hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law since it cannot. The flesh cannot submit without your soul, mind, will, and emotions saying, "No!" You'll be forever defeated. You will be forever, you'll be in battle the rest of your life. I'm not saying you won't go to heaven. You go to heaven, but I'm going to tell you what, you're going to go to heaven miserable because you haven't found the key to joy and life and happiness and prosperity for the soul. Did I read it all? It does not submit itself to God's law since it cannot, and those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. As long as you're in your body, you will have to deal with the lower nature called the flesh. Now, I know that's not good news. You wanted to come this morning and hear how you can walk in victory 24/7. You can, if you listen. Is this okay today? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 27. Like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that I, after I've preached the gospel to others, will not somehow be disqualified. You know what the King James Bible says? He says, "I buffet my body." I always thought that said buffet. That's why I always like to go to Golden Corral. I thought it said, "I buffet my body." But somebody said, "No, that's buffet. I'm fighting my body." to keep my body under subjection. It's a continual battle. Are you tired of hearing me say that? You are? Okay, let's move on. Paul said, I know my body's going to rise up. There will always be conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Just because you're born again Christian doesn't mean that your body is saved. Your body is not saved until it goes to the grave and then we go to heaven someday. Most people agree with that? Your body is not saved. Now, we can live a sanctified life, which means a sanctified life is just a life of saying no, no, no to sin. You're either going to love me or hate me by the time this is over. I make my body submit. I make my body obey. I will not allow it to sin. Somebody says, well, what if my mind is going nuts? It's because we yielded to the flesh, or we yielded to the natural realm. Is this okay, Darlene? Is it too hard? Okay. I will not allow my body to sin. I will not go back for a second piece of cheesecake. Right? So now, in addition to our mind, Romans 12 says we have to renew our mind, right? Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world. Now, I know a lot of church people think that verse says, be not conformed to this world, but be removing of your mind. It's not the removing of your mind, it's the renewing of your mind. And as long as your mind is being renewed, your mind is being fed the word. You can feed your mind from this side or you can feed your mind from this side. And whatever has the most weight is the one that's going to pull you. Are you keeping up with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm coming.
Wow. We have to deal with this flesh all of our life. That ought to make some of you feel a little bit better, because you know why you've been doing the things you're doing. Now you know why you're feeling the things you're feeling. Now you know why you're wrestling with the things that you've been wrestling with. Because it's the flesh and the things of the flesh, the things of the world, that has been tormenting you. Okay? So, now, this is good. Your mind can work both ways. Your mind can work fleshly or it can work spiritually. I know I've said that in so many words, but I didn't say it like that. Your mind can work both ways. Your mind can work fleshly, or your mind can work spiritually. I'm so worried. Oh, my God, I'm so worried. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Is that fleshly, or is that spiritually? Is that of God, or is that not of God? I don't know how we're going to make it. It just seems like we're not going to make it. We're going to fall apart. You know what? Is that of the flesh, or is that of the spirit? How many knows good things and bad things come to your mind? Didn't you say that earlier this morning in opening? You ever have a thought come to your mind that you know that's not of God? Do you entertain it? Do you rebuke it? You know, we can't keep the thoughts from coming. Listen, folks, we're not angels, all right? We're not supersonic. I don't glow in the dark. We're just regular people. And we can't keep the thoughts from coming. But Kenneth Hagin used to say, I can't keep the birds from flying over my head, but I don't have to let them nest in my hair. Basically, the thoughts come, but I don't have to let the thoughts stay.
That's right. Come on.
I know what I'm talking about. You're driving down the highway and somebody cuts you off. Or they stop in the middle of the road and you rear end them. What's your first thought, you know? Is it of the flesh, or is it, thank God I'm alive. Thank God I made it. You know, I'm just being honest this morning. I'm trying to be just as transparent with you as I can. We all have thoughts. I'm a man of the cloth. I'm a man of God. I am a man of the Word. I study the Word constantly. People don't think I do anything around here, but you know what? I stay in the Word. I stay in the Word. I stay in the Word. That's where my strength comes from. That's my sustenance. I stay in the Word. But you know what? Those thoughts still come. I know you think Darlene and I never disagree, but we do, don't we, babe? Not to, she said, I try not to get you to, or something like that. Now, I don't think we've had any disagreements today, but there's sometimes she'll say something and I'll react in a tone that is not becoming to Daryl Rhodes. We all have thoughts. We all have thoughts. Now, your thoughts, you may not have to deal with stealing, but you might have to deal with lying. Everybody's got their weaknesses. But what are we going to do with those? Are we going to cancel those thoughts out with the Word of God? Or are we going to yield to those thoughts? You know what? I don't think I'm ever going to make it. I don't think I'll ever be anything. I don't think I'll ever amount to anything. My dad said I was a nut job, and I guess I am a nut job. My dad said I'll never make it, so I'm never going to make it. I guess I'll always be this way. Really? What does the Word say? The Bible says you are victorious in Him. Morning, noon, and night. Oh, I got to hurry. Okay, let's go to Romans. We read this a while ago, but I want to read it one more time. Chapter 8 from the Amplified, verses 5 and 6. Those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh which gratify the body. Those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will and His purpose. Now, the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. That's the flesh. That's the body. That's the unregenerated body. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God both now and forever. You know how you can tell if somebody's walking according to their sinful nature? They've lost their joy. They have no joy. They're bowing to the sinful nature. There's no peace. You know what my Bible says? God says if we keep our mind stayed on Him, He will keep us in perfect peace. You can't lie. You can't. That's what it says. So if you don't have peace, then you're not keeping your mind on Him. That's what the Bible says. I'll give you that scripture reference in just a moment. When there's no love flowing from you, when there's no peace around you, when there's no joy bubbling up out of you, you are in the flesh. Yes, you're going to heaven. I'll meet you in the rapture, pre, post, or whatever, mid. But the thing is, the spiritual mind leads us to life and peace. The spiritual mind is full of power. The spiritual mind is full of peace. And the only time we lose that is when we think wrong. This is my last page, so get ready. Look at this scripture in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, 3. You will keep him in perfect and constant peace. Who's that? The one whose mind is steadfast, committed, focused on you. Y'all see that today? The one who is committed and focused on you. Cannot focus on the Word of God and focus on the things of the flesh. You ever try to think two things at one time? It's tough, isn't it? Because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. Do you know that God believes in you more than you believe in yourself? God trusts you more than you trust yourself. Three life lessons, real quickly. Three life lessons. Worship team, if you want to join me, you can join me up here. If Dwayne wants to come up and do a song and dance, that's fine. Three life lessons. Number one, here's the key. Focus on God. Focus on God. Cultivate a steadfast mind. Fixing your thoughts. What do I fix my thoughts on? God's character. Pleasing God. keeping on the promises of God. Keep your thoughts on the promises of God. Keep your thoughts on the presence of God being with you. Number two, trust in God's sovereignty. We need to learn to trust in God's sovereignty. What that simply means is that you know, God's got this. God's got this. God wants to take control, but as long as you choose to go with the way of the flesh, he cannot control you. But if you yield to him, yield. Trust in his faithfulness. And number three, take refuge in God. Run to God. Don't run away from God. Why is it when we get attacked, we run from God? Why is it that our mind says, you know what? It's not going to do any good to pray. Are you kidding me? Is that what the Bible says? That's coming from this side, isn't it? I hope you guys never forget left and right. This guy up here will just choose left or right. Your mind will follow whoever you submit to. Amen? Is this okay today? Did this help anybody today? I didn't come here to condemn you. I didn't come here to hurt anybody today. I've come here to love on you and to help you overcome. Victory is yours. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Stand to your feet with me this morning. How do you keep your mind on God? How do you keep your mind on God? I've learned to just quote scriptures. I've learned that you know, if a thought comes to my mind that doesn't agree with the word, but it agrees with my flesh, I just have to take a scripture and say, oh no, I cast down every imagination and every thought, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You take those thoughts captivity with the word of God. That's why it's important to be in church. Amen. I said, that's why you need to be in church. To be taught the word of God, so you'll know what the word says. I know you study at home, and I know you have all your YouTube programs and all your podcasts, but you know what? There's something about coming together as family in a corporate anointing. We can't forsake that assembling. It's important that we stay in the word. Amen? I love every one of you. I grieve when I see you hurting. Breaks my heart. Can we, that song they sang a while ago, Have You Met My Jesus? You know what? He wants to take that stuff away from you. You got to let it go. Remember, he's never going to come in and force you to let it go. You got to let it go yourself. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this congregation, and I thank you for those that are watching online. And God, I may have rubbed the cat the wrong way. I may have even, might have even offended someone. But God, I can't apologize, because your word says that many are offended because of the word. And I will not apologize. But Father, I just pray that our hearts will be so soft and pliable that the Spirit of God begins to deal with us, and our mind will choose life. Our mind will choose blessing. We refuse to choose what Satan is offering us. The worry, the hatred, the griping, the complaining, the ugliness. I pray, Father, that we will concentrate, meditate on your word. That's why your word says in the Bible, Joshua 1:8, that if we will meditate your word night and day and observe to do, not just hear, not just meditate, but observe to do all that's written therein, then you will make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. Forgive us today, Lord. I'm not giving an altar call today. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward. But I want you right now to examine yourself right where you're at. Examine yourself. Where are you today? Are you giving up on God? Are you giving up on your job? Are you giving up on your church? Are you giving up on people? Where are you today? Jesus wants to take your burden. Jesus wants to take that trouble, that sorrow, that hurt. Jesus wants to heal your broken heart today. Go ahead, Dwayne, sing it.